captivating exuberance of letting people know that, yes, there is a life out there, and that that life in construction, and then that it's such a wonderful opportunity for people to be able to determine their own destiny.
Yes. So
once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, we're going to sign off now. And so I'd like to thank you for listening tonight. Thank you very much, and holla.
Holla.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, taking place Thursdays through Sundays until March 4th at PCC Cascade in Portland. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a Vision of Africa package for Western viewers. The films celebrate Africa's achievements, expose its failures, and reveal possibilities for a hopeful future. The festival includes live music performances, plays and short films, documentary, and a Women's Filmmakers Week. Again, that's the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday through Sundays until March 4th, at Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at Portland Community College, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information and specific times for the screenings can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There's a time commitment about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is February 18th at 5 p.m. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to the community and KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Apply today to support your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Carlos Chavez, and I'll be your host for tonight's installment of Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. I've got a number of guests in the studio tonight. I'm just going to kind of go through it. Notably, my friend Noah Schultz, a mentor, a leader, activist, entrepreneur, we're going to go through that tonight, so you'll get a really clear picture about who he is and what he's got going on. My young friend Anwan Ford, you guys have heard from my good friend Gaetano over here. He's in the mix. Another one of my young friends, Ahmed, Siad, and Selena Ortiz. So there's a big group of us in here today. It's a pretty loose format, you know. I wanted to focus a lot of attention on what's going on with Noah and Anwan. We kind of want to get into their background a little bit, and you know, some of the challenges that they've faced, you know, throughout the years, but also on more importantly on some of the more current developments that have been happening in their lives that I think are really positive that I want to take some time to celebrate. So thank you all for being here today.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure. pleasure.
Yeah, no problem, no problem.
Yeah, right on. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's cool. We got a pretty eclectic mix in here today. So this is a good group. We'll get some good conversation going for you all.
Yes.
So let's one of the things I want people to know about, you guys are a couple, actually not just the two of you, but there's a few artists in the room today. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot if that's cool. Yeah. Noah, do you feel like giving folks a little taste of some of the poetry that you put together?
Definitely.
Now, just so before you get started, I want folks to know, Noah's he's a published poet. When he published his first book of poetry, and correct me if I'm wrong with any of these details, he did it while he was under Oregon Youth Authority custody.
While incarcerated.
Yeah. So that's just one of the things. There's more to go on. This is an amazing young dude. So so we're going to give him a moment to kind of to say a little piece of his poetry. Yeah. I actually have one in mind, if you don't mind.
Which one?
It was one that you said when we were at DCJ recently. Are you cool with that one?
Prison Stories?
I think that's a good way to kind of introduce what we're talking about today. All right, cool. Go for it.
Growing up, my father was my hero. The one person I was convinced was invincible. He sat before me the symbol of strength. His life struggles were written in every vein. Long days of hard labor had him looking like Popeye. They also prevented him from being home and spending time. He used to make it up through our monthly trips to the grocery store. We used to go shopping at Winco late nights. My father hated crowds and couldn't stand long lines. These trips were a privilege, one he reserved for his two oldest kids. During our rides, he would entertain my brother and I with prison stories. Getting his nose broke in a group fight and stabbing a guy through the hand with a fork in the lunch line. I was taught that there was nothing worse than a cop. And if you were ever caught snitching, you could find yourself lit on fire like the biker in the auto body shop. Each story would end the same. We were told that prison was a horrible place and that his mistakes were lessons. Now I know he told us these things with good intentions, but my mind interpreted them differently. I wanted to be like the man in front of me. I wanted to wear the cape of my hero. First it began with schoolyard fights. Then it escalated to me staying out all night. My dream to fill his shoes became his nightmare. He began to lose his son as I aged with each year. It was my turn to be the man from the stories. I got respect from the pistol I was holding, never knew I had it aimed at my own head. 2009, I was given 7.5 years in prison. The same exact time my dad did in the state pen, which had me asking if this was a cycle or coincidence, and how many other kids were sitting in the same circumstance. Handcuffs on their wrists fit perfectly like a twisted family heirloom. Prison is not an heirloom, yet it is passed down through the same lips that say I love you. Fathers, carefully craft your messages for your children before you send them. In an attempt to emulate their hero, they might just become the villain.
Nice, nice. Kind of wanted to give that one a little bit of air, a little bit of breathing room. That kind of sets the tone for the conversation that we're going to kind of start off with here. I'm just going to give you an opportunity just to kind of explain, folks, like what I mean. I think it's pretty clear what the meaning of that is. Mm-hmm. Go into a little more depth about that. You know, what explain that experience a little bit.
So a lot of what that poem was inspired by was me really analyzing where I had came from and the circumstance that I was facing as a young person going through another cycle of incarceration. Now, I recently found out incarceration is something that runs deep in my family. I think I'm fourth generation, being, you know, someone who's been in prison in the family from my dad's ancestors to his ancestors. It's ran in the family. So it's almost like following in that cycle. And one of the most craziest things highlighting in that poem was that I had ended up doing the same amount of time my dad did in Oregon State Penitentiary in a different kind of way. But It really made me want to think about just one, the power of words and the power of influence and what it means to a young person when you tell them these stories and you tell them about your past and the fact that you never know who's listening and you never know what kind of influence you're going to have on that young person and how they're going to take that to heart and where they're going to go with that.
So. Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot of your poetry, man. Well, I mean, I got your book. It's a great book. You guys got to check it out. What's the name? Tell them about the book, where they can get it.
Yeah, so it's called Morse Code Kisses, and you can find that on Amazon.
Cool. And, I mean, YouTube this guy. You'll see him. He while he was locked up, he did a TED Talk. How many people do you know have done a TED Talk to begin with, but while he was incarcerated? You know what I mean? That's quite a feat. You know what I mean? So it that says a lot about what this guy's been involved in and kind of how he's kind of climbed his way out of certain situations. That's an extremely powerful poem, man. The first time I heard that poem was a couple weeks ago. Noah came in to he was a guest of mine at the juvenile detention facility here in Multnomah County. We were doing Latino group, and he recited that poem, and that resonated big time. You know what I mean? It's I think it was a really powerful message for the young people to connect with, and I think it spoke to them because, you know, I mean, they could relate, you know, so deeply, you know. And you know, what is it that, you know, I mean, you were there. You were at that same, you know, facility before you went on to the Oregon Youth Authority, you know, while you were waiting for sentencing and what have you. Did you have those types of experiences with others coming in and sharing their experiences with you at all when you were there? And, like, what did it take, you know, at what point did you kind of, like, you know, you went through some significant changes while you were in there. Mm-hmm. What? You know, what are some of the things that kind of influenced you, and what was it that made you think about things differently and start kind of moving in a different direction?
Well, when I was there, not many people were coming in giving those kinds of those things and talking about those kinds of issues. But what brought me to really seek change in my own life is, one, my boy Gaetano over here. That's my road dog right there. That's my day one. And we always seen things a little differently, but going into another subject, gang culture runs so deep into a young person's identity, who they run with, you know, that sense of family, that sense of protection, all of that. So it's really hard to leave that kind of stuff behind. And going inside, I had reached a tipping point in my own life before I had committed my crime, in that one thing is that my mom had left our house. And that was really hard for me. I struggled with that. My mom was somebody who calmed everything down in the house. And when she left, all stability had left with her. Mm. So I kind of fell deeper into the streets and lost myself with alcohol, gunshots, and too much weed smoke. And I wanted something different for myself, but I didn't know what that looked like. When I was incarcerated, I told myself I was going to seek something different. I really analyzed where I had came from and the older people in the neighborhood, where they were going and all that. And like I said, I decided I wanted something different.
But how far along, you know, because you were in there for 7 years.
Yeah.
About what point was that, would you say?
I would say closer to 18. So I had just turned 17 when I was given 7.5 years. So 7.5 year mandatory minimum sentence.
Okay. But
yeah, so closer to 18, I started looking for that in other people. And I ended up, when I got to McLaren Youth Correctional Facility, I ran into a group of older guys who was doing things a lot differently. And the thing was that I could resonate with these guys because they had came from similar situations I had. They had sold drugs, they were from gangs, they were all that. And they were doing something different. They were leaders, they were respected, and they were going to school. So education was a big thing among these people. So I adopted that value for education. I began going after that because that was something that was offered. And I ended up knocking out high school. And once I got high school done, even though I didn't believe in myself, I had to ask other people. I said, you know, you think I could do this? You think I could do this college thing? And people were just pushing me on and telling me, yeah. So I got involved. One of the things was they offered online education there. And I was able to get on and get my associate's degree and move on and eventually graduate with 2 bachelor's degrees in the social professional certificate in social innovation from PSU.
Did you guys hear that? I mean, like, that's So that's quite a feat right there in itself. But not only were you doing that, you also were involved in a lot of other things.
Yeah.
I know that you were involved in a lot of different groups. I know that you're quite a soccer player. That's for one thing.
Definitely. Go Timbers.
Yeah. So, but, you know, always like socially conscious, mm-hmm. you know, quite an awakening, you know, period that you had in there. How did you go about even getting something, you know, like a book published and getting, you know, being part of the Salem TED Talks? Mm.
So with the book, getting the book published, it just came with a lot of research on how to go about doing something like that. I had been a poet throughout pretty much my whole time. Started really writing again when I was 19 and never really looked back and put together a compilation of work. And I was actually a writing teacher, introduced me to a format, a self-publishing format that I could do that through. So I edited everything and got everything into the correct format, sent that in, and was able to get it done. But the TED Talk thing, that's something I wanted to do for quite some time. TED Talks, the TED Talk name, by the way, is From Prison to Greatness. And what I did is I had printed off little pieces of paper that had said TED, and I posted that on my locker. I posted that above my bed at night, and I posted it on my desk space where I'd be working at every morning. I would look at that every day and just think about how I could get to that and try to reach out to any people that I could. And I ended up finding somebody who knew some organizers in Salem. So through that, I ended up contacting them and set up a video chat with them through the computer that they had. And they just hit me, improv, what's your story? And I just told them who I was, where I came from, and what was some of the topics I wanted to talk about. And the thing was, I hadn't been requested to go there. You see, you can't just go anywhere you want while you're incarcerated. You have to go through this whole process and make sure everything's secure, and you have to have a guard with you, and you have to have all that. But I just had to jump into it, and I was lucky enough to be able to go.
That's tight. I'm so glad. I remember when that first happened, I was just like, what? Yeah, that's so perfect. I just thought it was awesome. I thought it was pretty cool. Well, so let's fast forward a little bit. I mean, this really is not even adequate time to really get into these conversations, mm-hmm. man. I mean, there's a lot that you've been involved in and that the other folks here have been involved in. I'm going to jump, you know, so you were in there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of the guys that I'm working with when I'm in there, you know, when it's time for them to get out, and I see them going, you know, a variety of different ways. You know, some of them, you know, start working and just really stick to that grind and mm-hmm. do well with that. Some of them kind of, you know, go back and forth, you know, with the old life and you know, some of the newer ways that they've learned. And, you know, I see, you know, a little bit of back and forth that goes on there, which is natural. You know, it's part of the process, you know, trying to kind of keep, you know, keep on a good path. You know, you're coming out of there like you're like flying out of there, you know, like on a whole nother level than kind of what some of the other folks that I've seen. And it's cool. I think it's a real, you know, it's a positive. I think it's good for the other folks to see, you know, that are in there, and even for the folks that have come out, you know, that have been out, you know, for anyone really. But now, you know, you're in a position where you're, I mean, what I think is amazing is that that's a difficult thing, you know. I mean, I haven't gone through it, so I can't mm-hmm. speak on that, but I can just see it from the contact that I've had with other folks that I work with. And here you are landing a Soros, you know, fellowship, you know, in the midst of this. I mean, you haven't been out for that long, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And you're already, you know, you talk about a little bit about kind of the prep that you've done. You know, how did you prepare yourself for when you got out, and how have you been able mm-hmm. to kind of land on your feet when you get out, and just to kind of, I mean, you've basically like landed running, you know, and you're, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, making things happen. So
yeah.
talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
You know, prior to getting out, being in there for such a long time, I was really nervous going in as a teenager and coming out as an adult. And I had some good conversations with some of my really close friends, one in particular, Stephen Fowler. And
who's now out, too?
Who's now out,
so
yeah.
So shout out,
welcome
Stephen.
Welcome home, homeboy. Hey. And yeah, I remember this one conversation at our bunks late at night, and he told me, he was like, you're not getting out with nothing behind you. You've been preparing. And it's true. I see that as 7.5 years of preparation. That was 7.5 years of preparation for when I got out to do my best and kill it to the best of my ability. That Soros Fellowship, which my boy Gaetano and I will be flying out to New York for on the 15th of February. Started in while I was still locked up, while I was still incarcerated. And that was a crazy application process. And I still don't know if I got it. But, I mean, it's just hustle, man.
Yeah.
It's just hustle. And
integrity, man. There's a lot there to be said. I'm proud, man. It's cool to really see this, man. It's a beacon, man. It's a cool thing. You're resonating in a way, you know what I mean? Like what you're doing is really going to have not just impact you know, it impacts so many people around you. It's a trip because when you go into a situation where you're incarcerated, people are always talking to you about, you know, how your actions, you know, resonate, you know, in negative ways, you know, when you're involved in negative things, how that comes back to you, how that impacts people around you. I don't know how much people really talk about the positive, you know, impacts, you know, that resonate even further and more widely, you know what I mean? And also plant seeds for other people, you know? Yeah. So
yep.
I'm happy to see, you know, you on that path and you doing that, you know, and you know, like I said, I want to kind of take a moment just to celebrate that, you know what I mean? And,
thank you, man.
And, you know, let folks know what you got going on and commend you for that, man.
Appreciate that, man. I mean,
that's quite a thing for anyone.
I feel like if you can look at my story and say, take one thing away from it, it's that it is crazy important to provide spaces for these young people to grow, right? Any young person from my situation can develop and get to that position of their own best, their own personal best, if they're given a place where they can discover themselves and find out who they are as an adult. That's the thing with a young person who's incarcerated, is they have so much development ahead of them. And I don't think I would be in the same place I am today if I was not provided those opportunities, or at least provided those avenues to have that self-exploration.
Well, and it's because of that, you know, because of your experiences and because of your knowledge, that you're perfect for that fellowship. You know what I mean? And it's in their best interest to
appreciate that, man.
To make that, you know, happen. So if you're listening right now, you know, solidify that contract, you know, make it happen. trust me, it'll be worth it. So now I want to kind of move on over to my guy Anwan over here. Anwan's an artist out in East Portland. I've been knowing him for at least a year now. He was an intern of mine out of Douglas High School, and he's still involved in some of the programs that we got going on, hip-hop programs. You know, for those that know me, I run a youth organization out in East Portland, and a lot of the focus that I like to kind of pay attention to is what's going on in East Portland. First thing I want to do is give you a chance to kind of express yourself through your artistry so people can get a taste of who you are as an artist. And then let's kind of dip into the conversations that we're having right now. So this is Anwan right here. Let's check him out.
You and I, me and you, yeah, we different. I'm from a place where they love it when you down and out, but they hate when you sprout. I'm from the slums, streets full of bumps, nothing sweet, just a place where the youth tote guns and brag about drums. I'm from a place where they don't shoot on course, but they shoot up your block. Little kids out here selling earth, in other words, rocks. Instead of going to school to learn about stocks, plot and go to the top, they rather run from cops. What a shame, never slipped, still up in my game. Bounced back like a beat in the shade going heavy. Told me education key, I'm the lock, so I grabbed it. I'm in it for better things, I need more than a cheddar. Remember days I couldn't sleep, man, the flow was too cold. I was acting like a fool, now I'm getting too old. Young Ruger be the name, I run the game, check the score. I be going in LeBron, 2-2-3 when I score. Acapella, solid beat, from the West, bring it heat, no Miami. About to walk across the stage for my mama, I ain't worried about it. She got all of my pride, when I was broke, down and out, she sad. Put my own way, and I won't ever stop. They try to talk, I get down, but I'm on to the top. Just a youth from the town, trying to make all my rounds. Living in a broken family, found my hustle and my heart when it shattered to pieces. They hear the bars that I'm preaching, now they ask for features. But I'm taxing for the high, cause I was loafing, man, all along.
Nice. Hey. Right on. Giving props right there to man. Something that you can see before, and a lot of people, if you're getting it, probably know, see what this like, and some of the things that are going on. A little bit about how, that kind of with your music and that you see out there in East Portland that you know, create hurdles for folks.
Well, I'm going to just start by saying my parents split up when I was young. And my mom, she noticed, like, some stuff. Like, I was acting a little different. And then she used to always ask me if I needed help or anything. I was like, nah, I'm cool. You know, I'm straight. And, you know, me and my father, we were always close. You know, I looked up to my dad like, that's the man of the house. He was always the man of the house. Then when he moved out, it was my brother, and I looked up to my brother. And then we started getting older, and then my brother moved out. And then I was just like, whoa. And then, I became the man of the house, I guess you could say. And then my sister moved out, too. So it was just me and my mom. And, she was always that, get out of school, do it, too. It's kind of stupid, And as you get older, you regret it anyway, and then you'd be like, oh, it feels weird.
And we've talked this, we talked about this right times, of kind of lifestyle,
For me.
And then, how is it that you talking about,
growing the time, I never really went out places like that. If I go out to spend a night somewhere, it's at my grandma's house. I got my little cousin there. He's kind of like my brother, basically. We always grew up with each other. And it's just like, I wouldn't see him doing the stuff I know my dad wouldn't want me doing, And I'm out here doing this, so it like makes me think. It's just like, you can either do this and then suffer the consequences from this, or you can do this and be successful from this and then build an empire for yourself, You can influence your little young ones to be something like you or even better than you, And then you can start a business of your own, like a family business or something, Basically.
Nice. What about some of those challenges, folks trying to pull you in another direction? How is it, trying to steer through that and kind of stay focused?
It's like people do a lot of dumb stuff, And when people see you doing good, sometimes they don't like that because they're doing something that you can't do, And then once they see you doing good, it's just like they're going to keep pulling you. They got your attention already. You're already running with them, And then my grandma, she always said, go straight home after school. Don't be running with those people, And it's just like, all right, grandma, all right,
Well, you're still young, too,
Yeah, you after school, hey, what you finna do? Oh, we got the whip. Let's go,
Sounds like some folks would recognize that.
And then, over time, my mom, she kicked me. She didn't really kick me out. Basically, it was just, a butthole, a hard-headed teen. Excuse my language if that's a cuss word, but
I'm not too sure.
All right, yeah. She would always just, be hard on me, Eventually, I try to be grown at the age of 15, I'm leaving the house, Ended up going to stay with my dad, And then I would be dumb. I would just leave the house at night, sneak out the house without people knowing, And I feel guilty of this now. I'm admitting how I feel. Cause it's just like seeing what I did when I snuck out. I wish I didn't do. I wish I would have just stayed in the house, because now it's like I'm trying to better myself and progress myself. And now the people that I were hanging with at 10 o'clock at night, they see me doing good. Now they're trying to yank on me and nag me for doing
trying
what
to hate
I'm doing,
on it. Yeah.
It's
hard being disciplined, man. Mm-hmm. That's a real difficult thing. I mean, I don't know. Talk about that. Speak on that. You know a little something about that too.
Oh man, this world will pull you in many directions. It's hard when you're trying to strive for something that's completely outside of the realm of what everybody else around you is doing. A lot of people are thinking in the moment and they're living in the moment. And when you're thinking for that future and you're trying to build something, like you said, an empire, you're trying to build yourself something different, man. A lot of people will try to pull you in that direction, not because they hate you or not because they want bad for you, but because that's what's comfortable and that's what they know.
Yeah.
So they think you're there.
Always been there,
They think they're showing you love by pulling you to what they're doing, even though you're trying to do what you're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, right on. Well, hey, man, it's crazy, man. Whenever I get on this show, man, it's like it whips by so quick and we've already run out of time. We've got 15 seconds, literally. I'd like to have you guys back, of course, and continue this conversation. Talk a little bit more about what's going on. Catch Amwan at a variety of venues, notably Mississippi Pizza. I'm sure he's going to be back there at Hungry Hungry Hip Hop sometime soon. We're gonna work with him on getting some spots. Keep your eyes open for Noah Schultz and the rest of the group here. I can't leave without giving shout outs to my guys over at David Doug, or I'm sorry, at Furridge, and at Donald Lee Long. So especially to the Nikos and Freddie, the guys in my Latino group, and then to the guys at Mac, most definitely.
Mac boys.
Yeah, that's right. So I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,